Save big money on everything for your next project at Menards. Update your home with Palmero vinyl plank flooring. It provides a genuine weathered wood look that complements any decor and clicks together for easy installation. It's waterproof and scratch and dent resistant, making it perfect for active families. Save big money on our wide variety of flooring options at Menards. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money at Menards.
Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, was it something demonic? Or maybe a very dark premonition?
This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
Share those real ghost stories with us because we sure like to hear them and share them. You can call in anytime. The number's 855-853-4802. You can write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. If you'd rather have an ad-free version of the show, you'll also get advanced episodes. You will also get access to the archive. Become a premium subscriber. Do that through Apple Podcasts. You can try it 3 days free. Or you can also do that through patreon.com/realghoststories or at ghostpodcast.com. And Kathy Gordon, how's it going in your part of the world today?
Well, it's going great. It is absolutely going great. I'm interested to hear about demonic versus just some sort of dark spirits.
I don't know.
I'm always a little afraid about possession. Ever since I watched The Exorcist when I was a kid, I'm a little bit nervous about possession and demonic sorts of things.
Next week, I am interviewing an exorcist for the Grave Talks. Yes.
Oh.
It's crazy. He wrote this book. And so I'm like, I don't know. Never hurts to ask. So I reached out and to see if he'd want to be on the show. And they're like, yeah, did you also want to talk about the show? And his publicist is like, yeah, we saved the book release so it would coincide with the show. Like, I know what she's talking about. And I'm like,
what?
At the risk of sounding stupid, which I frequently do anyway, I said, what show are we talking about here? Well, he's got this show on the Travel Channel that's getting ready to start. And by the time you hear this episode, maybe if you're just listening the regular way, it should be starting here. It's the first part of June, so it might be on already. He wrote a book called God, Ghosts, and the Paranormal Ministry, Part 2. And so he does some exorcisms.
Fascinating.
And so then she says, the show premieres Thursday night. So, okay, it's already on, so I could actually go watch it tonight on the Travel Channel. It is Eli Roth presents The Legion of Exorcists. And you can see it Thursday nights, 9 o'clock Central, 10 o'clock Eastern on the Travel Channel.
Interesting.
I know. So that'll be an interesting conversation.
One episode, or is this multiple episodes?
On the Travel Channel, I think it's a series.
A series, okay.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then, so I'll interview him next week, so we'll see how it goes.
Interesting. Okay, I'm really excited about that.
I'm a little bit nervous.
A little bit afraid about that.
I know, me too. Good thing that one I get to do during the day, because he's way out west. And so I was like, oh my God, because I've set up a few interviews out west and they've started like at 9 o'clock my time. I'm like, I do not want to talk about exorcisms before I go to bed. I just don't.
No, I get it. That I get. And like I said, I remember going to see The Exorcist, the movie, you guys, when it first came out, that's how old I was. And I saw it at the drive-in. And then I came home and nobody was home and I had to go and sleep by myself after seeing The Exorcist. So
it's so funny. They did a 25-year anniversary of that show. So my friend John and I go see it at a matinee because we both love The Exorcist. And there was some scenes in it that they put back in that they took out because they were too twisted for the original version. So
really?
We wanted, there's a scene where Regan walks down the stairs backwards, like she's walking like in a back bend down the stairs.
Oh, you know, I think I've seen that.
Yeah, it's
like
super creepy.
Somewhere like, you know, like on a YouTube or something that it was cut from there. And it's super creepy.
Super creepy. Like they had, and that was an actual thing. They had some kind of contortionist acrobat person do that. So we go to the theater that day and we walk in and we're the only two people in the theater. And the funny thing is we were making a joke about it. And I was like, is this the center? I want to sit the center of this theater. Is this the center? Is this row? Is that row? And then we walk over and we decide, okay, it's this row. Is this center row? So we walk over. I'm like, is this center? Is this seat center? So we're kind of just laughing. We're the only ones in the theater. We're making this big deal out of it. So we sit down and what we decide are the two center seats in the theater. So the movie just gets ready to start. All the movie trailers get ready to start. Lights go down. Two other people walk in. And they just come up. And it looks like a dad and his kid. They literally come to our row, left one space between John and them, and they sat down. Who does that at a theater?
You know, I've had that happen. Only they came and sat right in front of me. So I had to get up and move.
I know. So John and I got up and moved because I'm like, okay, I am not sitting here watching The Exorcist holding your hands or whatever this is all about. It was the weirdest thing. I'm like,
maybe they wanted to be close because they were scared. But
there was only four of us in the entire theater. That was it.
I get it.
Anyways,
I get it.
So this story has got this creepy thing. I don't really know what it is. So we'll see. Let's see if you have an idea about it.
Okay.
So it starts. Hopefully you can offer some brilliant insight. Oh, they wrote to the wrong place.
Oh, dear.
Brilliant.
Pressure. That's some pressure there.
I don't know about that. Okay. Starting over. Hopefully you can offer some brilliant insight to better explain just what it was that a friend and I encountered on a balmy Texas summer's night nearly 14 years ago. As was our weekend tradition in college, several friends and I were spending one Saturday evening at a mutual friend's apartment. Before I go any further, let me preface the rest of the story by saying that, unlike many other college kids, my friends and I abstained from drinking or partaking in any mind-altering substances. Otherwise, the rest of the story might be more easily explained. I will add in that I'm glad they added that because I would have said, were they doing drugs?
Mm-hmm. Well, that's,
so we've already ruled that out.
You would just naturally go there. Mm-hmm. So no, the answer.
So they're not drunk. They're not doing drugs. Anyway, we spent the evening talking, laughing, playing games, hanging out, and simply enjoying each other's company. The time seemed to slip away from us as the evening wore on. Eventually, I glanced up at the clock and realized it was 3 a.m. With fatigue beginning to set in, we decided it was time for us to go back to our respective homes. One friend was stationed at a local Air Force base just a few short miles away. Because he did not have transportation of his own, I volunteered to drive him back to the base as our tired group meandered out the door of our mutual friend's apartment. My car was parked in a small, secluded space behind the apartment complex. As my friend and I made our way to the car, still laughing about that evening's festivities, I happened to glance down an alley parallel to the apartment complex. There, about 25 yards away, was a silhouette of a person standing sentinel-like in the middle of the alley. This person, bathed in the glow of a nearby street lamp, was staring intently at the ground and appeared to be wearing a long, thick coat and scarf. It was a sweltering human night, so it seemed very much out of place to see a person dressed as though they were freezing outside. My friend also took note of the person and assumed him or her to be homeless, since the city in which we lived did have a sizable homeless population. While my friend's theory served to better explain why the person was wearing a long winter coat in the middle of the summer, I knew something was not right. As I fumbled for the car keys in my pocket, I kept glancing at this person still standing motionless in the alley with her head bowed down. Sure, I suppose it could be a homeless person. After all, it was not uncommon to see them, but something seemed very, very wrong. I was beginning to get nervous, as was my friend, who impatiently urged me to hurry up, open the car door so we could leave as soon as possible. Suddenly, I glanced up again to see this figure moving toward us. It was not walking like a normal person with pronounced strides, but rather it began to shuffle, all the while still keeping its head down. My fight or flight instinct kicked in as my friend and I jumped in the car. You know, I'm going to say right there that anytime you feel that fight or flight instinct, you need to go with it.
Run.
If you're feeling something isn't right, always go with that. Never even take the time to question it.
Listen to yourself. Listen. Listen to those instincts.
And if you're like, you know, it's just a homeless person, but it could be a homeless person with a gun.
Could be a serial killer. You don't know.
You don't know. There's a reason that person has a coat and scarf on. Maybe they're hiding something.
Mm-hmm.
So it continues. I managed to pull out of the parking space and began driving away as the figure shuffled its way to the space that my car had occupied just mere moments before. As I started driving away, I suddenly stopped the car and gazed back at the figure who was now standing motionless in the parking lot. All of a sudden, the figure lifted its head, swept a mass of long stringy hair from its face, and stared back at us. I could not believe what I was seeing as I struggled to catch my breath. Instead of a face, there was a solid black void and two glowing pupil-less blue eyes glaring back at us. I think that's weird how you could have moved the car and still seen pupil-less blue eyes glaring back at you. Because I'm just telling you, if I'd have been having the fight or flight feeling going on, number one, I wouldn't have stopped the car to look back. But if I had stopped the car, I would have stopped farther away. I know,
well, I don't know. I'm still kind of caught on the shuffle movement thing. That's creepy, too.
Creepy. So he says, I thought I was losing my mind until I glanced over at my friend, who was pale white as the blood drained from his face. I knew then that this was not my imagination playing tricks on me, as my friend was also seeing it. This was, however, the physical manifestation of something very real and very demonic. As my friend and I locked eyes in disbelief, he screamed, "Drive!" I peeled out onto a heretofore quiet city street. I never say heretofore. As my friend and I struggled to make sense of what we had just witnessed, my friend clutched his hands together and began praying aloud as we were both extremely shaken up. Once we regained our composure, we made a vow not to tell anyone else what we had witnessed for the fear of being ridiculed or branded as liars. I eventually dropped him off at the Air Force Base as I headed back home to the sanctuary of my own apartment. Suffice it to say, neither my friend nor I slept much that night. While there is nothing I can think of that would explain the presence of the demonic figure, it's worth noting that the figure was standing in the alley just mere feet from an abandoned house a would-be armed criminal would go on to commit suicide just a couple weeks later. Coincidence or something more? Anyway, thank you for reading this story on the air. Keep up the good work. Wes in Texas.
Wow.
It is weird, though, that you would have an experience like that and then somebody would have committed suicide there. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it says a would-be armed criminal. So it was abandoned house, a would-be armed criminal, which is a weird thing. So was it a would-be criminal or he would have been armed, maybe armed? But it makes me think that maybe there was something that was a really dark presence there that maybe... Mm-hmm. Maybe it was the same thing that...
I think that's what he's insinuating.
Yeah. I don't know.
Oh, you! Just the thought of coming outside and seeing that figure standing outside at 3 o'clock in the morning, which seems to be the witching hour to me. When a lot of times we hear about things happen at 3 o'clock in the morning. People wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning. You know, it seems to be that kind of... So that kind of 2 to 3 o'clock in the morning time is creepy, but coming out there and everything, you know how it is at night when everything's just silent and it's a warm, hot night like that. And looking down there and seeing somebody standing there very still, that's just, and then they start moving towards you.
Yeah, that's really creepy right there.
That's really creepy. And then we get into the parking place where you just were. So obviously they're coming looking for you, right? And then you look back and not one of you sees something, but both of you do.
Yeah, it that, is.
That
that's a
faceless, that dark, just empty void face.
So that I don't know what that was.
Very
was
creepy.
There just something dark in the abandoned house that maybe that it came from? Is it just the alley that it haunts? I don't know.
I don't.
But I do I get know. Why you wouldn't want to talk about it either, because it's like the more you talk about it, the more real it is. And are you introducing it back? You know, it's like we escaped. Do we need to keep talking about it?
You know, I've had experiences before where, and especially when I was younger, like my teens or 20s, and it was like, we're never going to talk about this again. Like, I'm not going to talk about this thing. And I definitely understand that. Like they, like you said, we kind of made this vow that we were just going to let it go. And, but boy, that would haunt you.
Here's another story. It's a shorty.
Okay. All right. Let's hear it.
Hi, I'm Audrey from California and I love the show. I have my own story to tell and I have to preface it by saying my family is very religious and I feel like that has opened the door. And door is in quotes, to something much bigger, which is kind of interesting to me. Some I would think a lot of times, you know, is it opening the door to God? Or since you're religious, that's, well, I don't know.
Well, I, you know, I've thought about this a lot because, you know, I have people will say that they believe in God, but then they don't believe in other things. And I've always kind of felt like they go hand in hand. And so I think maybe the more you believe in God and you rely on God, you know, to get you through things, you do somewhat acknowledge the presence of other things.
Well, it's right there in the Bible. They talk about other things. So
and so maybe that's what she's referring to, that, you know, you become spiritual, then you
open the door. So she says, anyway, when I was a kid, maybe 6 or 7, I would spend time with my aunt. And then in parentheses put, pronounced as aunt, A-N-T. Obviously, this isn't an aunt. It's an aunt.
Oh, okay.
One of the things I would do is sleep over almost every Friday night and wake up to pancakes every morning. Well, one of these Friday nights changed me. It was bedtime. I was tucked into the guest bedroom bed that was pushed up long ways against the wall. My aunt came in, we said our nightly prayers, and she turned off the lights and went into her room. I went to sleep. About midnight, I was awoken by something and looked up from my little spot on the bed. To my right stood a tall male figure. At the foot were two more figures, and in the hallway were two more. All five were completely black, and they did not, that's in caps, they did not feel good. I was so scared that I screamed for my aunt and turned on the lights. I told her what happened, and she went around the entire room with holy water and prayed several prayers. When she told me I would be fine, we returned to our beds, and I slept. I woke up again, this time at 3 in the morning. I know it was 3 because I remember seeing the little red numbers on the digital clock. And those figures were back. This time, they pulled the bed away from the wall, and two men were moving the bed on either side of me. I yelled for my aunt again, and the men were gone. This time, she slept with me in the bed, and those figures never returned. I'm 24 now, and I can't sleep in complete darkness or silence. I sleep with my laptop playing music, and it's the only way I can sleep. Even with my fiancé next to me, I still have to sleep with something to ease my nerves. Thank you for reading this, and I hope my story can help other people. I don't know. That's just kind of creepy. And it's like, it's weird because it just happened that one time, and she'd always spent the night at her aunt's house.
And did she continue to go back to the aunt's house?
She did not say.
She doesn't say. Mm-mm. And did the aunt stay with her, you know, in the room? I have questions.
Well, she did after the 3 a.m. when the weird
figures she went back the next Friday, you know, what was the protocol then?
And it sounds like it just happened that one time.
So weird.
And
now, I've heard
she says
this thing about 5 figures.
Never returned. I have not.
I've recently heard this. Somebody talking to me about five figures that surround them, like all the time. And so this is interesting that it was that number five, because I just recently heard this. Though I am a little bit angry with them for picking on a child like that.
Well, maybe it's because that's what they could get, how they could get through. The aunt wasn't seeing them. I don't know.
You know, when we had the house in Elma, we left, we moved away. I went back years and years later. Now, I would say I was 40, maybe, or 45, that I happened to be going back through there. And I stopped, and the house was empty at this time. And I went out and walked around the house, and then I stood on the porch. Now, I can't go in, you know, it's all empty and locked up and everything. But I stood there and I'm looking in the windows and I just started talking to it. And I just started saying, how dare you do that to a child? And I talked to whatever was in the house and said, you know, you're so tough that you did this to children. You traumatized children, you know, and just kind of let them have it. It was kind of an interesting, but it was kind of cathartic for me to do that.
Mm-hmm. Me, I've been back there zero times.
I know, because you're a fraidy cat, but
it's not that. I just don't want anything coming home with me. I'm like,
that's what you've always said. You've always said you were afraid something would attach themselves to you.
Mm-hmm. I've always felt that.
But it was interesting. I kind of felt that way. Like, how dare you do this to a child? And I feel a little bit that way in this one. Like, how dare you do this to it? Like, you moved her bed. You're terrifying her. It's one thing to come through to somebody. It's another to do stuff that's going to terrify them. For the rest of her life, she's still having issues with this.
Yeah, and that's what I would like to see her get over, you know, and maybe take a different approach. Like, look at it. Like, that happened to her then. Mm-hmm. You know, she wasn't harmed. She was really scared. You know, she's safe now. But maybe the music at night kind of helps her sleep. I have to sleep with a fan on every night. We all got our things, but I just don't want her to be terrified her whole life. That bothers
me. Yeah, I don't either. And I'd like to find some way that she can come to terms with this somewhat so that she's more comfortable.
Well, if you like the show and you want an ad-free experience, sign up to be a premium subscriber. Do that through Apple Podcasts. Try it 3 days free. You can also sign up through patreon.com/realghoststories. Or go to ghostpodcast.com. And for all of us here at Real Ghost Stories Online, thank you for listening.